Thank you, gentlemen. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, September 22nd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Gandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says it is consulting its membership on whether to join the MDCT's planned demonstrations against the country's worsening economic crisis.
The government is taking no notice or no action at all in order to rectify or resurface the economy. Our politicians are concerned about their positions, be it in their party, be it in government.
A Zimbabwean delegation has arrived in New York for the 69th United Nations General Assembly amid calls by Tourism Minister Walter Mzembe for all countries to tone down Ebola fears.
I think we need a more responsible, cohesive, collective action that should contain the disease going forward, but also to be mindful of not imposing travel bans on countries to an extent where it can be interpreted as xenophobia.
And the United States of America has been sucked into the ZANU-PF succession wars as more than a dozen ruling ZANU-PF party and two MDC members of parliament are being accused of spying on behalf of Washington.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says it is consulting its membership on whether to join the MDCT's planned demonstrations against the country's worsening economic crisis. At the same time, the Combined Harare Residents Association, which occasionally holds demonstrations against the city fathers to improve their service delivery, says it will sympathize with the MDCT, but may not be part of the protest. The MDCT announced at the weekend that it will force the government to address the deteriorating economic situation by rolling out a series of demonstrations that will be led by its leader, Morgan Tsvangirai. Party spokesman Douglas Mwonzora said the leadership of the party will be on the forefront of the demonstrations as a symbol of their commitment to make the government accountable for its promise to create more than 2 million jobs and related issues. We reached ZCTU President George Nkiwane, who says the labor body, which is the largest in the country, is currently consulting its membership countrywide to determine whether they should take part in the protest in solidarity with the MDCT.
I want Zimbabweans to understand that it is the ZCTU that started talking about the nosediving of our economy, and nosediving at a rapid speed to the extent that the government is taking no notice or no action at all in order to rectify or resurface the economy. Our politicians are concerned about their positions, be it in their party, be it in government. So we are moving around as the leadership of the ZCTU, consulting workers on the way forward, because we are asking them to direct us as to what to do then in order to force the government to realize that whatever they are doing is not good for us as Zimbabweans.
Could you tell us what is the outcome that's coming from those places that you have visited so far?
So throughout all the areas that we have visited, I think they are speaking with one voice to demonstrate, to show the government that we are no longer happy with what they are doing. They must be committed and respond to the people's needs, like what I said. And they must deliver on their promises before elections.
George Nkiwane is the president of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. We also reached Chairman Simbarashe Moyo of the Combined Harare Residents Association for his take on the issue.
Let me actually clarify this to say, as the Combined Harare Residents Association, we've been holding peaceful demonstrations since the beginning of the year. But we have heard that the MDC will soon get into the streets in protests and marches and so forth. So what we have said is that if that is the case, we will also continue with our peaceful marches in solidarity with the MDCT.
Does this mean that you are going to be in consultation with the MDCT, or you are going to just play by the ear?
As the Combined Harare Residents Association will not be in confrontation with the MDC, but will be marching in solidarity with the MDCT. Because some of the issues that we are protesting against are issues that are also being raised by the MDC.
That was Simbarashe Moyo of the Combined Harare Residents Association. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
President Robert Mugabe has arrived in New York to attend the 69th General Assembly of the United Nations with a team of ministers including Environment Minister Sevia Kasukwere and Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mbengegui. He is also accompanied by his wife Grace and several senior government officials. The central theme for this year's UN General Assembly meeting is implementing a transformative post-2015 agenda. Questions of development will remain at the heart of the discussions during this session, though a number of high-level meetings will also be taking place on the sidelines. Mr. Mugabe and Mr. Kasukwere will on Tuesday attend the special summit on climate change convened by the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, a special summit on terrorism, the World Conference on Indigenization People, well, is, I take that again, the World Conference on Indigenous People, while his colleagues in government, NGO representatives and others will attend other meetings on the sidelines of the General Assembly.
A session will be dedicated to discussing the Ebola virus disease currently affecting at least three West African nations. The chairperson of the African Union Commission, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, will address world leaders, providing updates of the situation, what the AU has done, and what it is currently doing to halt the spread of the disease.
Also in New York is Tourism Minister Walter Mzembe, who is leading discussions at the Africa Travel Association, where he is current president. ATA is meeting in New York for 2 days, starting today, to discuss ways through which more tourists could be attracted to the continent. Top of the agenda, Mzembe tells VOA Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira, is the Ebola virus that he says is threatening the tourism industry throughout Africa.
I'm bringing a message as Commission for Africa Chairman under the UNWTO, basically to say that I think we are overplaying this issue, particularly in the United States. Some of the unilateral bans that we have imposed on African countries and Africa in totality because of a global security issue threat now that I think needs a collective action of global players to contain it rather than to ostracize and ban altogether the people from that end from traveling. I think we need a more responsible, cohesive, collective action that should contain the disease going forward, but also to be mindful of not imposing travel bans on countries to an extent where it can be interpreted as xenophobia or even racism in certain instances. So I am watching with horror the debranding of Africa, especially as we cite recklessly these issues around Ebola.
That was Tourism Minister Walter Mzembe speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira in New York.
The United States of America has been sucked into the ZANU-PF succession wars as more than a dozen ruling ZANU-PF party and two MDC members of parliament are being accused of spying on behalf of Washington. But the MPs and the U.S. Embassy in Harare were quick to dismiss the allegations as unfounded. The state-controlled and ZANU-PF leaning Herald and Sunday Mail newspapers accuse some ZANU-PF MPs of allegedly benefiting from a $90,000 grant the U.S. Embassy dispersed to their constituencies. The Herald today accused the U.S. Embassy's second secretary in charge of parliamentary affairs section, Eric Little, as getting briefings from the MPs and using the ambassador's special self-help program as a cover. But the U.S. Embassy in Harare issued a statement saying, quote, "This assertion is in error and Zimbabwean MPs have received any funding through this program," unquote. This embassy further said the ambassador's program has been existing since 1980, adding that the MPs have no say in the programs that are meant to benefit small-scale community development projects. Political temperatures have been rising in ZANU-PF ahead of the ZANU-PF elective congress in December. The party has been allegedly divided into two factions, one backing Vice President Joyce Mujuru and the other Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. The two have consistently denied that they have ambitions to succeed President Robert Mugabe.
The majority of the ZANU-PF MPs fingered by the Herald are alleged to be belonging to the Mujuru camp. Efforts to get a comment from Zimpepa's chief operating officer and editor-in-chief Pikirai Deketeke were futile. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo is quoted in the Herald as saying they will investigate the allegations. But ZANU-PF Makonde MP Kindness Paradza tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that some senior party officials are using the Herald and Sunday Mail to tarnish his image.
Let me tell you from the onset that it is unfortunate that the Herald chose to print that story without verifying with me. To begin with, I never received any invite from the American embassy, and I never received any money from the American embassy, and no one from my constituency has received money from the American embassy. There are people who are trying to be malicious and trying to tarnish my image. You must remember that this thing also, a similar thing happened in 2004 when I was MP, when I went to the UK. And as soon as I landed in the UK, there was stories in the era that Paradza had gone to the UK to sell out to the British and so forth. A thing which was not true. And a similar thing is now happening. And I wonder what is the motive, really. But I've talked to the Herald. I've even talked to the Herald editor-in-chief, Pikirai Deketeke. And it would seem that the team at the Herald is not the author of this story. The story came from elsewhere, not from the Herald.
Where exactly did it come from, Honorable Paradza?
I don't know. I cannot say it, but I know I have a gut feeling that somebody with some political motives, with his own agenda, wrote this story on behalf of the Herald.
That was ZANU-PF Makonde MP Kindness Paradza speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. MDCT Mabvuku MP James Maridadi, also alleged to be working with Washington, dismissed the report as unfounded.
I don't know what information I could be giving here. I don't know what information has been investigated. And I think it must be, first and foremost, it must be appreciated that talking to anybody, Americans included, does not constitute a crime. Because if he were a crime, then I would probably be banned behind bars right now. It is not a crime. And in any case, everyone working at the American embassy at the moment is working there with the full knowledge of the Zimbabwean government. The embassy is a bona fide diplomatic mission operating in Zimbabwe, and all its employees go through a process that is known by both the Zimbabwean government and the American government. There's no one who is working at the American embassy who is not supposed to be working there. And that is how it works. That is how these systems work. And for anyone to say a member of parliament speaking to the diplomats is a crime or a sin, that person needs to have their head examined.
But did you receive any money for the development of your constituency?
No, I did not. I did not receive any money for the development of my constituency. And if there's any embassy out there with money for the development of my constituency, they must just give me a call and I'll go there running. I mean, look, people in Mabuga are suffering. They need water. And if somebody comes here to give me $5,000 to drill a borehole, I will run to that person and get $5,000 and drill a borehole.
That was Mabvuku MP and MDCT member James Maridadi speaking with Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Renowned economic analyst and former Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe advisor Eric Block, who died on Saturday, will be buried at Athlone Cemetery in Bulawayo tomorrow. Block died after a long battle with cancer. He was 75 years old and is survived by four children. Tributes were pouring in from various sections of society today, with all describing Block as an open-minded and objective professional who did not take any sides. One of those who paid a tribute is economic commentator Rejoice Ngwenya.
Over a decade, I've met and discussed with Mr. Block, and he has attended some of my free market, discussion forums. And I was with him only a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about, the democratization of the country and the resuscitation of Bulawayo. He was really a deeply incisive man, a very good writer, a non-partisan commentator, and a man who was willing to go forward in terms of analyzing the situation and give an honest opinion. He was truly a great man.
How much would you say the country has lost in Mr. Block?
Look, I mean, there is always an opportunity to praise people that have gone away. But when you look at even the semblance of sanity that prevailed in the Reserve Bank and in the many boards that he has set in, the fights that he waged to restore the industrial capacity of Bulawayo and the number of companies that he represented in terms of liquidation, it shows that Zimbabwe is not a man who had a very keen sense of analysis and was willing to defend the rights of business and the rights of, Bulawayo. So I would say that, especially Bulawayo and Matabeleland has lost an ambassador.
At a personal social level, what kind of a person was he?
You could sit down with Eric at his, Kumalo home and have tea, and you would be sitting at the counter talking like...
That was economic commentator Rejoice Ngwenya on the line from Harare, who was speaking with Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo.
The MDCT Chitungweza province last night held its nominations for national party elections and agreed that posts for leader Morgan Tsvangirai and his deputy Thokozani Kupe and that of Party Chairman Love Momoyo and his deputy Morgan Komichi will not be contested at the forthcoming October Congress. The province is said to have nominated current organizing secretary Nelson Chamisa to the post of secretary general with Tapio Mashakada as his deputy. Teresa Makone was said to have been nominated to the post of treasurer general, while Douglas Mwanzora was nominated to retain his current position of national spokesman. The sources say Maurice Zizwai was nominated for the post of organizing secretary. Harare province is also said to have agreed to retain the top four leaders, but there is a dispute on the rest of the nominations. While 10 other provinces are yet to nominate candidates, some names of aspiring candidates are already being thrown around, especially in the social media sphere. Mwanzora speaks about these nominations.
That is correct. Chitungwiza province is one of the two provinces that has done the nomination. We are now approaching our Congress on the 29th, 30th, and the 31st of October this year. And it is going to be preceded by the provincial Congress. At these provincial Congresses, there will be elections of the provincial executive as well as nominations for 40 members of the standing committee in each province. Once all the provinces have nominated, we will then release a final national list of people who have been nominated in the various portfolios.
We understand that the Harare nominations are being contested by some in your party. What's the correct position here?
Well, yes, there are a few problems that happened in Harare, which the leadership is looking at to see whether any complaints raised by any person of substance. And also, the nominations were presided over by our independent committee made up of certain officials from the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union, an independent body. We are yet to receive a report from that body and also a decision on how it is going to be regarded.
There are reports that some provinces that are yet to nominate members are approaching those that they want to assume some posts at the Congress. Is this legal?
It is certainly not legal because the body that must choose on behalf of that province is the provincial assembly. These are individual corrupt people who are going to try to influence the second of their choices.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Mwanzora in Rusape. Bulawayo East House of Assembly member Tawita Kumalo, who is contesting for the post of deputy national spokesperson, says even though Bulawayo province is yet to meet for nominations, she was approached by a province to stand for election, a development Mwanzora says is illegal.
That's very true, Jonga. My provincial members have approached me that they want me to go and stand as national deputy spokesperson from the MDC led by the President Richard Morgan Tsvangirai, and I have accepted because I'm sure you are aware that as members of a party, we are guided by the mandate of the majority and majority rules.
But we understand that Bulawayo province, where you hail from, has not nominated any persons for the upcoming elections. How come you are saying that you were nominated by your province?
I've been approached by my province, where they were asking me to vie for that position. So that technically means when the time for them to nominate candidates for our Congress, they will nominate me because the mandate came from the members of my province.
Have you already started campaigning for this post?
I surely have. I've been talking to the other provinces so that they can nominate me for me to go to the Congress and then fight it out there. And so far, so good.
That was Bulawayo East House of Assembly member Tabita Kumalo in Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
singers, comedians, and performing artists join hands to save their colleagues struggling with cancer.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says Islamic State militants threaten the entire Middle East, and the international community cannot allow that threat to go unchecked.
Hundreds of thousands of people marched in New York and cities around the world Sunday demanding action against global warming at this week's UN climate summit.
A U.S. secret spacecraft has arrived in Mars to study its upper atmosphere and help answer questions about how the planet changed from one where microbes may have lived into a cold and barren desert world.
And former French President Nicolas Sarkozy is returning to frontline politics to seek the leadership of his center-right Union for a Popular Movement, or UMP, party.
Singers, comedians, and performing artists have joined hands for a benefit concert set for tomorrow at the Boo Cafe in Harare for their colleague Pretty Shaba, suffering from cancer. Doctors recommended that actress Shaba should seek cancer treatment outside the country. Concert promoter Tawonga Mafundikwa tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye some of the country's most popular musicians, who include Ja Praiser and Suleiman Chimbetu, the Charambas and other musicians, will be performing at the concert in an effort to raise $10,000 needed for an operation in India.
Our theme for tomorrow is Let's Help Pretty campaign. The reasons for calling up for this campaign is to try and help Pretty, who has got cancer of the esophagus, and we have had quotations from India where doctors have said they are able to operate on her. So basically, we are calling on every other concerned Zimbabwean to come and help in whatever way they can. And I'm also grateful to the artists that we have invited over. We have agreed to come and donate part of their time so that at least we can raise something. Some of the artists that we have actually invited Progressive Fumo, Philbert Marua, Neo Reka Band, and many more. Actually, the response has been quite overwhelming, and we're actually expecting a sold-out show tomorrow.
And what is your target?
Our target at the moment, hospital fees are coming up to about 9,800, which translates to about 10,000. Then maybe we'll need another $5,000, which should be for other incidentals.
Was she not able to get this treatment in Zimbabwe? Why India?
What happened is the doctors from this country say where the growth is inside the esophagus, the growth is at a very precarious position, and they say it might be fatal to operate. We sought second opinion from other countries, South Africa and India, and the Indians requested for medical reports from this country, and when they had a look at them, they said they could proceed with surgery.
That was concert promoter Taonga Mafundikwa speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from Harare. Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye will give you more details on cancer in Zimbabwe, so please tune in tomorrow.
Getting Studio 7 news, features in English, Shona, and Ndebele is now easier than ever, thanks to VOA's mobile app, available for both Apple and Android smartphones. If you have an iPhone, go to the iTunes Store. For Android smartphone owners, go to Google Play. Find the app by searching for VOA News. Download the app and in settings, select either Studio 7 Shona, Studio 7 Ndebele, or Studio 7 English. The app can even prioritize content for those of you with slow connections or expensive data rates. Download the VOA News mobile app today.
The local organizing committee of the African Union Sports Council Region 5 Under 20 Youth Games says it is putting final touches to preparations for the games, which will be held in Bulawayo from December 5 to 14 this year. President Mugabe lit a torch in Harare last week in recognition of the games. The games on offer include football, netball, basketball, tennis, boxing, judo, swimming, and athletics. Countries under the Region 5 banner, which are expected to attend, are Angola, Botswana, Lesotho, Malawi, Mozambique, Namibia, South Africa, Swaziland, and Zambia. However, an additional 5 has been invited. They are the Democratic Republic of Congo, Tanzania, Madagascar, Mauritius, and the Seychelles. The local organizing committee's marketing director, Kennedy Ndebele, tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga various subcommittees are putting all the logistics in place to make the games a success.
Currently, we have various subcommittees ranging from marketing to accommodation and catering, medical committee, we have protocol and ceremonies, also the finance committee. The infrastructure committee is the one that is supervising the upgrading of venues.
And so far, does it look good?
Yes, so far so good. We are very confident. In fact, we are sure that by the start of the games, we'll be ready to roll.
Which sporting facilities have undergone renovations?
Basically, all the facilities are being renovated. The main ones will be White City Stadium, where new Titan Track is being laid. The new VIP area together with Pavasil Stadium, the drainage system sorted out, the new dressing rooms constructed, we'll have floodlights. The Veve Stadium, there's a new VIP block. I'm looking at BAC, there are also some improvements that are taking place. It's something that will leave Bulawayo with a legacy, and we expect that the Bulawayo community and the Zimbabwe community in general who support these games and come in large numbers.
That was Kennedy Ndebele, marketing director in the local organizing committee of the African Union Sports Council Region 5 Under 20 Youth Games on the line from Bulawayo.
Meanwhile, defending champions Dynamos are on course for a fourth consecutive league title despite being held to a goalless draw by FC Platinum at the weekend, while bitter rivals Highlanders' prospects continue to fade following an away loss to Harare City. The draw fortified Dynamos' position on top of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League table.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about joint public protest proposed by the ZCTU and MDCT to force the ruling ZANU-PF party to create jobs.
Now to recap today's top stories.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says it's consulting its membership on whether to join the MDCT's planned demonstrations against the country's worsening economic crisis.
And the United States of America has been sucked into the ZANU-PF succession wars as more than a dozen ruling ZANU-PF party and two MDC members of parliament are being accused of spying on behalf of Washington.
That's all we had for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, leaving you with Tandekile Mhlanga and Ntungamile Nkomo.